It's time to get in the loop with LPS, the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. From the latest school and district news, updates on various district hot topics, and opportunities to meet all of those that help make LPS great, In the Loop with LPS is here to provide yet another opportunity for us to stay connected with you. So let's get started and send you to the longtime director of communications with Liberty Public Schools and your host of In the Loop with LPS, Dallas Ackerman.
We are back for another week of In the Loop with LPS. It is the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. And oh my goodness, we have our first state champion coach joining us as part of this week's edition. It's the final edition of first semester, believe it or not, as we're right on the doorstep of our winter vacation. He is Andy Learman. A lot of times I see your name listed as Andrew Learman. I like to call you Andy. Do you mind?
No, I don't at all. The only people that call me Andrew are my mother.
So. And a few of these guys in the newspapers or something every now and then.
Off the roster.
Straight off the roster. Well, hey, man, huge congratulations. Well-deserved. State championship on the football side, Class 6, a couple weeks ago now, I guess a little over a week as we're recording this interview. Wow. Liberty North Eagles capture it. First football state championship in the history of Liberty Public Schools. You have to feel really good.
Yeah, it's obviously been a really cool experience to be the first team to do that. You know, it's hard to think that over all those years that the district's been around that we haven't had one yet, but we'll definitely take it, and we're super excited. Just obviously surrounded by a great group of coaches, great group of kids that have kind of knocked on the doorstep for the last 4 or 5 years here, and we finally got one, and it was very, very sweet, and it's been a lot of fun since.
Now, for people not familiar with you and your journey, you've coached in several different spots, but you actually coached over at Liberty High School for several years as well, and were a part of some good teams. I mean, that's what I caught myself thinking that night after you guys raised the trophy down in Columbia. Liberty has had some really good teams over the years, dating back to those years when Liberty High School then made that jump from kind of smaller class to bigger class, went toe-to-toe with Rocker several times. It's just a testament of how huge this is.
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey as I've reflected back on kind of where I started and where I'm at. You know, I got hired by Pat Hansen back in 2004, and little did I know that I was going to be a part of some pretty fun and very good football teams over the course of my time at Liberty. But I got hired as a freshman B team coach actually that year, and got to work with some guys like Stan Grossadier and Nate Thomas, who's now at Springfield Kickapoo High School. Adam Bowling and Joe Bowman, just guys that are still around and still some of my very good friends. And so just an opportunity to kind of grow and get better, and didn't know what I didn't know at the time. And just got the opportunity to be around some really good coaches. And then kind of worked my way up through the course of the next 8 or 9 years, and worked into a sophomore position, and then on into a defensive line coaching position when Joel Wells got hired. And so we've just kind of, I've been through and with a lot of coaches, and then as Joel was here for 3 years, I think, and then Coach Fregon got the job, and I got an opportunity to work with Coach Fregon, and Coach Hansen came back as a defensive coordinator, so you know, Coach Van Hollen was a part of all that. So the guys that have been around over there for a long time have been obviously mentors of mine, but some of my best friends and guys that I now compete against. Man, I just appreciate when I look back at that time. All the things I was able to learn, the time that they kind of poured into me to allow me to get better. I still remember sitting in the back of the defensive room, keeping my mouth shut and trying to learn and soak up information of what was going on. And then you think about all the players, even guys that that coach for me now, like Alec Eslick and Peyton Kirk and Colton Freeze, the guys that have kind of come through here. And Jimmy Costello came over and talked to our team. So, I mean, just a lot of guys that have been a part of what's happened here at Liberty High School and the tradition of Liberty football in general. Still have pretty good contact with those guys, and those years at Liberty were pretty impactful for me as a young coach, and I'm just very, very thankful for that time.
Just getting started with our conversation this week with Andy Learman, the head coach of the recently crowned state champion football team, the Eagles, taking care of CBC down in Columbia on December the 2nd. And was it December 2nd or December 3rd? think it was the first weekend of December. Yeah. I definitely want to talk about not only that game, that experience this season, but with our guests, I always like to kind of go back and when you grew up, I know you're a former Lexington Minuteman.
Oh, yeah.
A small town football, small town community, something we definitely have in common. Just take us back to you growing up, kind of what you were interested in. I'm sure you participated in athletics, and then kind of what got you interested in coaching?
Yeah, Lexington, Missouri is where it was all kind of started for me. Born and raised there. Grandparents are all there. Aunts and uncles are in a lot of local towns: Higginsville, Richmond, Henrietta. So small town America was where I grew up. I still love going back there, even though I don't have a lot of relatives that live there anymore. But I still love kind of going back there and just seeing the people that I do know. Was able to be a part of some really cool things that happen in small communities, whether it's being a young kid and sitting on the curb at a homecoming parade or something like that, and just looking up to the guys that played high school football. Lexington during the 70s, 80s, and 90s had a lot of tradition of really good football. I think they won the state championship every presidential election year for a while, every 4 years or so. And so I got to grow up knowing what good football looked like and watching a guy like Coach Rector, who's a Hall of Fame football coach, and a lot of really good assistants work really hard to make some average athletes in small town America really, really good. And so I learned what hard work and work ethic was. My dad ran a military school for 30 years, Wentworth Military Academy, and was a part of that as a student. I got threatened to go there a couple times when I was young, but luckily I was able to stay in public school and be a part of both communities a little bit with the Wentworth community and Lexington. And then was a part of a lot of things growing up: football, basketball, track, played Little League Baseball there in town, and just all the things you do in small town America, and just the community support that you have, the people that you get to know. I mean, even to this day, there's people that are older in the community that knew my parents or know of me still, and I go back and they can fix my car for me or do whatever. Just all the things that are just great connections to have. And so I'm just thankful for that time there. Like I said, I have a sheet of paper from when I was in third grade that my mom had kept, and I don't know when she gave this to me, but I still have it in my house, that it was, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And so I wrote on it on the big lines with the dashed line in the middle to make sure you had all your writing correct. I want to be a NFL football player, NBA basketball player, or a coach. And obviously God didn't gift me with much height or speed. And so the coach part ended up being what I was. And so I think I just had some guys around me when I was younger that I watched and looked up to as I watched football games and was a part of different athletic events when I was younger. And again, growing up in a community that athletics was important, along with school for that matter. But just understanding how important and seeing that community kind of come together, that it made me want to be a part of it. And so yeah. That's kind of my background. I love small town America. I think one day I might end up living there with a little pond somewhere in a front porch and just kind of hanging out and watching the sunset someday.
So. Nothing wrong with that. Again, Andy Learman, head football coach at Liberty North, our guest as part of In the Loop with LPS this week. So you grow up in Lexington, off you go to the next stage, and you go to college, Northwest Missouri State up in Maryville.
Yeah, so I went up to Northwest Missouri State. Again, wasn't gifted athletically enough to be able to play there. They just won their first national championship in 1999. That's the year I graduated. And so some guys like Charlie Pugh and Dan Llewellyn, some guys at Liberty Public School people might know a little bit, were a part of that one. And so I was able to hop on up there and go to school and get into the education world a little bit and start taking some classes. And was able to graduate there in 2004. Or excuse me, 2003, and then graduated in December and got hired here at LPS. A small fact that probably nobody knows, my senior year, I got hired at Tarkio High School, which is a little class one school
up in Northwest
Missouri. And you talk about small town America, that was right up my alley. And I still remember this day, we had a really good team that year and made it to the playoffs. And when daylight savings hit, there weren't many lights around. And so all the parents pulled up like a movie with their car lights on, and we practice with the car lights on. And so the things you appreciate now, the facilities and things we have now, are things that a lot of schools wish they had back then. So we're very fortunate here.
My first job out of college was at a radio station in Southwest Iowa. and I did the play-by-play for Tarkio and Rockport, the Atchison County Super.
I've
never seen so many plate hits and personal fouls in my life. Talk about an intense rival.
Oh, man. Those small towns, they get after it.
Absolutely. Again, Andy Lehrman, our guest here. And did you meet your wife, Amber, at Northwest, or did you meet her later?
I did not. I met her here. I got hired in 2003, it was as a full-time sub, and then the following year, I got hired as the PE teacher at Shoal Creek Elementary. That year,
that's right.
There was this Christy Bowman was a fourth-grade teacher at Shoal Creek Elementary, and this young lady, Amber, at the time, Amber Miracle, was a student teacher, and she happened to just be walking her kids to PE class every third or fourth day, and we kind of caught our eye, I guess, of each other, and then eventually ended up kind of chatting a little bit, and the rest is history, so they say. But yeah, that's how I met Amber.
So there is Amber Learman now into the conversation. She is a teacher up at Liberty North High School, so you guys are in the same building.
Yeah.
And then talk about your kids. I know they are a big Eagle fan.
Oh man, yeah, we got a crew of Eagles at our house now. Like you said, my wife's up at North, teaches math there, and then I've got a daughter, Inslee, who's 14, freshman at North, and so that's been a lot of fun to have her at school and be able to see her every day and kind of have that opportunity to share some of these things with her every day. And then I've got two sons. One's fifth grade at Warren Hills Elementary, and one's in second grade at Warren Hills Elementary, and they are big-time Eagles. Landry was able to be the ball boy this year, so it was a lot of fun to be able to share that with them, too. And, they are full-fledged Eagles and love – the opportunity to get to know the boys. I just think it's such a great opportunity to have my family involved in it because not only just to see, let my kids see the interaction I have with our players, but our players to see the interaction I have with my own family. I just have always felt like that's super important as this day and age, it's tough to find some families with two-parent homes or maybe some kids that don't have a dad in their life. I just think that male role model for them to see what a real family looks like is super important.
I want to mention, you talk about Amber and her being in education. I was talking to somebody last week, and they were aware that my wife's a teacher, and she made a point to say, Dallas, you're very lucky, and your family's lucky to have a teacher as the mom in your house, and just how special they are. And it kind of stopped me in my tracks a little bit, but it's so true. Yep. These ladies are fantastic.
Yeah, there's no doubt that our household would not run without my wife. She allows me to do what I love, obviously. She gets our kids where they're supposed to go. People probably don't understand, and I don't expect them to, that the amount of time that we put in as even high school coaches just to try to make sure that our program runs. You know, we have 121 kids, 10 through 12. We've got over 70 freshmen, over 70 eighth graders, and so you know, we're looking at almost 300 kids, 8 through 12, and that's coaches and parents and communication and all the things that go on. So there's just a lot that goes on within the football program. And so having Amber there to really make sure the kids get where they need to go to practices and wherever else is going on, make sure they get to the games. And the other piece that I really enjoy about having her at the high school is she teaches freshman math. And so she gets to know a lot of those kids before I do. And it just creates a connection to where – you know, we all kind of know the kids, and so it creates that family atmosphere a little bit, and kids know that if they need something, they can go chat with Amber, or they can come see me, and or I can say, hey, can you check on so-and-so during the day, or whatever it might be, and so it's just been a really good deal for us. She's one of my top assistants, I tell her, and she really just makes things work, not only for me at home, obviously, but definitely at school, too.
You know, it's no secret, Andy, and being a high school varsity football coach, ton of time put into this. I mean, especially when you're talking leading up to the season and in season. I hear the stories. I mean, you guys are practically living up at those facilities. But from what I've heard from people is, and again, the expectation, I know you guys do that, but you also want to find some of that work balance as well. I know you've tried to make that a priority. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously there's time that has to be put into being able to be successful. I don't think there's any different with any other coach that you might talk to. The difference is I just found how important it is for our guys to be dads, to be husbands. And I think that there's a piece that needs to be thought about when you go through the process of planning and getting ready to go for a season or whatever it might be. And so I just try to do a good job of talking to our guys. I tell them all the time, I don't want you coaching for me if you're going to skip your kid's game or You're not going to go watch it because you're trying to get something done for me. And there's definitely a sacrifice piece that goes on. And so sometimes that sacrifice becomes a little bit of sleep, maybe at night or in the morning. But I want our guys to get to games. I want them to make sure they're home at evening. And so, you know, we've done some interesting things the last couple of years. We do our staff meetings on Zoom at night at 9 o'clock after our kids go to bed. So after practice is over, I want our coaches to be able to go to a kid's practice or go pick them up or go eat dinner with them or put them to bed, whatever it might be. And then again, on the back end, we just set a time at 9 o'clock when our kids are usually in bed, and we've been able to see them a little bit, and we do a Zoom meeting and talk offense, defense, and get the practice schedule ready for the next day. And so that's worked out really well. You know, on the weekends, especially on Saturday, I try to do a good job of, again, if your kid has a game, let's make sure we work around what we're doing at school to make sure you can get to your kid's game, even if it's in Savannah or Olathe or wherever they might be playing. Go see your kids play. I just think that's super important. And I've just found the last couple of years that it makes our coaches better coaches because their wives are happier, their kids are happier, and everybody knows that the family piece is important. And we've got some really good coaches that understand that and do a great job outside of the normal time that we spend at school to be able to get our things done.
Again, Andy Lehrman, state champion football coach, Missouri Coach of the Year. Hey, congratulations. That just came down late last week.
Yeah, obviously a great honor, and thank you very much. And I'm being an assistant for 19 years, I'm fully aware of what it takes to make a great head coach, I guess, which is a great group of assistants. You know, I really feel like sometimes I'm the football manager and not so much the football coach, and that's a credit to our guys in that office that work really hard for me and our kids and the relationships they build with those kids to get them to buy in and do the things we need them to do. But yeah, obviously it's a great honor, but I think it's more of a reflection of a great coaching staff and a great team.
The program you've built now over the, you know, especially now here, the last handful of years at Liberty North, that expectations now all of a sudden get so high. There's got to be pressure involved. How do you deal with pressure professionally?
I just try to keep it in perspective. You know, somebody asked me the other day, you know, how have you gotten better as a coach since you became the head coach? I'm really not that much different. I'm obviously in charge of the ship, so to speak, but I coach the same. I treat our kids the same. I treat our assistants the same. I just have to make more decisions. And so I just handle it and understanding that, you know, I feel like winning is just a process of doing things the right way. So we try to do a good job of doing things the right way, whether it's being detailed or holding our kids accountable or making sure we get our work done or whatever it might be. And so there's definitely a lot of pressure that goes with the job I have right now. You know, we've made it to 4 straight semifinals. We knocked on the door and finally won the state title. And now everybody's going to expect that to happen. I think what most people don't see is that behind the scenes, there's a lot of kids with a lot of things going on in their lives. And so I try to keep those kind of things in perspective, realizing that if I take care of our kids, and do a good job of trying to nurture them and make sure that they have the things they need and support them, that they're going to play hard for us. And if you get them playing hard and you do the right things, and you always have a chance to win, it doesn't always mean you're going to. The ball doesn't always bounce the right way sometimes, and sometimes you don't always play your best. But we always want to go out and give a great effort. And I just perspective, I think, is the big thing. You know, I've been blessed with this job. I've been blessed in this community to be a part of it for the last 19 or 20 years. And I've got a great family and a great support system around me. And I just try to make sure I know that being a football coach is what I do. It's not who I am. And I always think that's important. I love what I do. There's no doubt about it. But ultimately, I want to be a great dad first and be a great teacher and take care of these young men and give them an opportunity to win.
You talked earlier about all those experiences you had, and you rattled off a laundry list of names that you coached with. What was some of the best, and this probably a loaded question, but maybe the best advice you were ever given?
Yeah, actually, you know, we were talking about Coach Rector earlier a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a year, actually about 10 months, in Lexington as a head coach down there. And my wonderful wife, Amber, didn't like the small town life very well.
Mine would not either, by the way.
So we came back up this way. But, you know, one of the things I asked him, you know, he's a coach that coached for 35 years, 32 of them in the same town, won 5 state titles. And the one thing I asked him before I left was, you know, what's the one thing you would do different? And he looked me right in the eye and said, I would spend more time with my family. And so that's always rang true with me. I really am a family guy. I don't have a ton of friends that I hang out with. I don't have much of a social life. I coach a lot of football. I try to pour into our kids, and I try to do the same thing in my own family. And that's probably the one piece of advice that I've always, you know, X's and O's are great. Schemes are wonderful. spending time with your kids and understand what's going on. That's what it's all about, whether it's your football kids or whether it's your family kids. And so to me, that's probably the best piece of advice I've ever gotten.
Yeah, I love it. I know the listeners are going to want to at least hear a little bit about talking about this season and this team. Yep. and how it all culminated with the trophy in Columbia. I know that this team's had all this success in the last 4 years, like you say, the four semifinal appearances in a row. Was there a moment you as the head coach, you're like, this team has it, and this team's has the capability of winning that state championship, knowing that there's some incredible programs in the state at the highest level?
Yeah, so, you know, I felt like coming into the season, we had a really good opportunity. We had some really good pieces back. You know, Dallas, this has been a process for, you know, everybody looks at this season, but, you know, we came here in 2017, I think, when Coach Jones got the job, and we went 3-7, 4-6, something like that, the first couple years. And then that third year, we went 11-1, and that was the first year that we kind of felt like, okay, we're starting to get this thing rolling. And it's been a process from then. You know, I said, you know, last Saturday was, or a week ago Saturday, was a culmination of 7 years of work to build the culture and the program that we felt like we could have. And it's a tribute to all the kids and the coaches that have been a part of that. But I felt like when the season started, if we could get all the pieces together, because we had some baseball kids during the summer, we had a couple injuries. If we could get all those pieces kind of back together for one last hoorah, so to speak, that we'd have a really good opportunity. You know, we have some very talented individuals on that football team as football players, and then we have what I call glue kids, which aren't your Division I football players, but they might be a Division II or an AI or just a really good high school football player. And they're the glue to what goes on. These kids that are super talented that everybody hears about are wonderful players, and they're going to do great things. But the culture of what we built is a blue-collar, go-to-work type atmosphere that everybody just works hard and you earn the opportunities you get. And I felt like we had a bunch of kids that were like that. And no matter what happened, we had some depth because we had kids that had bought in over the course of the years, and we always have seniors that step in their senior year and really play out. But we lost that game one to Lee Summit North, and we didn't have all our pieces there. You know, we had a kid like Trey Snyder who wasn't eligible because he'd been playing a lot of baseball in the summer, and some guys playing out of position that hadn't played there before. And so we lost by seven. We felt like we should even won. And I looked at the coaches that evening. I said, let's get this thing pulled together because we got a chance to go make a run. And then each week, I just felt like we just slowly kept getting better and better, and we'd have injuries or somebody would step in and do a good job. And guys were just buying in and buying in. And you could see that in the look in their eyes and the way that they worked, the way that they talked to each other as teammates. And I just felt like from after that game one loss, okay, let's gather together here. Let's regroup, pull our bootstraps up, and let's go back to work because we got a chance to make a run if we can get better. And, you know, over the course of the next couple of weeks, you know, we beat Liberty week two, and then we had a heck of a game against Rockhurst week three. Mm-hmm. And I guess if there was a point in time where I really felt confident, it was, okay, I knew Rockhurst was good. They were a good, tough, physical team. You know, Coach Donahoe has always had teams like that, and this was his third or fourth year there, so they're really kind of where they were going to be. And so week one after we lost, and week three probably after Rockhurst, I felt like, okay, we got a shot to make this thing.
So you get to the semis, and that's Thanksgiving weekend, and have that thriller down at Rockhurst, down at Dasta, winning by one. Did you feel like, you know, you go through a hard-fought game like that, all of a sudden it's like, oh, baby, here we go now, and back to state. And then really, how much did that experience going to state a couple years ago assist just with your week of preparation leading up to heading out on that Saturday?
Yeah, that Rockhurst game was it was a true testament to our kids, I felt like. It was everything that I just got through talking about in those first couple weeks that I thought we had culminated in that Rockhurst game. We had to fight. We had to scratch. We had to claw. Everybody thought we were going to beat them again like we did the first time. And I told everybody going up to it, including our kids, that this is going to be a good Rockhurst team. What people don't remember in week three was in the third quarter, it was 14-7. We just happened to get a couple turnovers that kind of turned the tide of that game and kind of flipped it to one-sided deal. So going into that game, I just really felt like, okay, we got to play well, and we got to do some good things because Coach Donahoe and his staff do a great job, obviously, as well. And so just super proud of how our kids fought that game. You know, they could have easily folded and said, oh, here we go again, or, man, we're almost there. We just couldn't pull through. But they didn't. They kept fighting all the way to the end. You know, I felt like we really did a good job conditioning our kids throughout the season to get them prepared for that. Some teams play just guys on both sides of the ball, and we platoon and do a good job of that. And so I feel like that played a factor, and I was just really proud of how our guys fought, scratched and clawed to get that victory. And I felt like after that game, everybody was like, okay, let's go get this thing. And obviously we only had one to go, but it was just the confidence level of we can win by 35-7 or we can win 28-27 in an overtime victory because we're just going to find a way. And that was kind of the message going into the last game of the season is in that state title game is, yeah, we lost 2 years ago in the state title game. We lost last year. But I felt like last year we only really played two quarters. And then 2 years ago, we turned the ball over five times. And you're not going to beat anybody, much less a CBC, when you turn the football over five times. So it was just play four quarters, and those other games don't matter. This is a new team, and every year is a new team. Just like next year will be for us as, and everybody else is. That this group is a different team than what they saw last year. And so it was just a determination by our kids to understand that they were on the doorstep again and they had one more shot to get it done.
You mentioned, Coach, so then the championship is CBC, a familiar foe, a team that knocked you out previous 2 years. And then early in the game, they hit you over the top with a long touchdown pass. It's 7-0.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were at least people in the stands thinking to themselves, here we go again. Yep. Did you feel any panic on the sideline?
Not really. I think there was a couple looks like, okay, hold on. I thought you said we were going to be good on this. And we actually, once we looked at it, is we just blew a coverage. It wasn't like they gave us some crazy route concept or something that we hadn't seen before. We just really blew a coverage. We didn't get back to our zone, and they got us over the top. And so, again, credit to what you said while ago with our senior leadership and the kids that have been there before. You know, this group of seniors have been there, same sideline, same locker room, same place 2 years ago as sophomores. And I really kind of pushed on them to just stay positive, stay calm, relax, and just keep fighting. And then fall back on the week before is, we've been here before. We're fine.
Yeah.
We're going to be okay. And I think that senior leadership really showed through. The confidence of the kids really, really came through on that.
You give up 7, and then you just reel off, 38 unanswered to finish the thing off. And what did it feel like hoisting that trophy after the game down there?
I mean, obviously, it's an incredible feeling. But I've said this a lot. It's more for me, it's always been about the kids. Like, to see the joy on their face, to see them finish something that they set a goal out to do early on. You know, I told them before the playoffs started that if we could pull this off, that they would always be champions. Nobody can ever take that away from you. No matter what you do in life, where you go, your job, your family, your circumstances, you'll always be a champion. And again, just trying to relate that back to, you know, when you work hard for something and you do the right things, good things happen. And so just super proud of them. I mean, obviously super excited that we won and proud of the coaches and the administration and everybody that support us in the community. The people that came out and watched us, even if they weren't Eagles fans. It's been a little bit of a surreal thing. I don't know if we've really come down from cloud nine a little bit. I mean, there's still things like this going on, and there's a lot of people talking about it, but we're going to enjoy it for the rest of the month for sure, and then we'll get back to work on January with the new squad.
We're going to recognize you guys at our board meeting coming up, which would be next week at the time of this interview, and we're going to bring in your seniors, the ones that are available at least that night. I'm sure people are busy with other games and whatnot, but
right.
Talk about that senior class, because you always hear coaches talk about, you know, you're only as good as that group of seniors and leadership. And boy, you had a dynamite group.
Yeah, I'm glad you're the second guy to ask me about this, because last time I got asked this, I kind of choked up.
Yeah, you did.
They're an incredible group of kids. You know, when Coach Jones left to go to Oregon and go to the college route, there were some really good people that applied for this job. And I think the piece that kind of put me over the top was that I had the kids believed in me, kind of like I'm talking about believing in them. And so it's definitely a two-way street, and they bought into what I was doing. They've allowed me to push them. You know, there were times during the season where I just kind of told them, especially in the playoffs, you know, it's a long season. You know, we've been working since the Tuesday before, the Tuesday after Martin Luther King Day, as far as off-season workouts and weights and conditioning. So it's a long, long season, 10, 11 months. And I just kind of told him, look, we're going to keep pushing you. And you can like me in December at Quick Trip when you see me getting a Snickers bar or something. But right now, my job is to get you to the goal. And they allowed me to do that for them. They trusted me. They trusted our coaches. They believed in what we were doing, even when things got shaky or we might have had a loss or something like that. And, you know, I just really think it's a tribute to the commitment level that we have to them. You know, I heard a coach say one time, you know, you spell love T-I-M-E. And I've really just tried to use that in my philosophy of I'm going to spend a lot of time with you guys. And whether it's you're sitting at my dinner table eating supper with me or my wife's helping you with math homework or I got to come pick you up because you need a ride, whatever it might be, we're going to do whatever we can to help you be successful. And I really feel like when you do that, kids buy into you, kids believe in you because they know you care about them.
Just a few more minutes here with Coach Andy Learman. Coming off the state championship at Liberty North, I was not concerned that we would have trouble filling up 30 minutes here with this conversation. But so now all this continues, and you guys are just enjoying soaking all this up. What do the coming months look like? I mean, I know you want to enjoy this, but I'm sure you guys are already starting to think about 24.
Yeah, so what people don't really think about is all the celebrations and things are great. They're additional things to what actually really goes on when the season's over. So as we're talking these next couple of days, we got to check in equipment. We got to get it washed. We got to do all the things that nobody really thinks about. And then we got recruiting season. With the coaches coming in to recruit our kids, which is a tremendous opportunity for our kids to go get an opportunity to not only play college football, but to get an education. And I think that's a huge part that we sometimes forget as college football fans or football fans in general, just how important that piece is. You know, we're going to kind of enjoy Christmas break. And then, again, our day to start, we'll get this banquet done. I got to get the banquet organized, all those fun things, right, which is going to be a lot of fun this year. But, you know, Martin Luther King Day is kind of our holiday that we kind of take school off for, and then we start on that next Tuesday. And so it's just a matter of trying to get our kids in, which they'll do. I mean, I feel like our culture really has breeded kids being understanding of what it takes to get the job done. And, you know, Micah Joe Barnett, who's our senior captain running back, I heard him in an interview talking to somebody the other day, and he just said the standard's been set. You know, we talk a lot about the standard, but these guys raised the bar. And so our guys are going to have to go back to work, and this year's going to be a new team, and I don't know what that's going to bring or what that's going to look like, because you just never know. But our job's to love them and to put time into them and to get them to buy in, and that's what we'll continue to do. We'll get in that weight room and condition them and start pouring into them so that when August hits, we're ready to roll.
Hey, I can't let this opportunity go by. The word on the street is you met a pretty famous football coach last week. I don't know how much you can share about that exchange, but it sure caused a stir up in the North.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Nick Saban came in with one of his assistants to recruit a couple of our kids, and it was a little bit of a surreal instance.
Kind of a perk of the job, right?
You meet a guy that you've only ever watched or listened to talk at clinics, and to sit and talk to him about things other than football, like his dogs and his wife and what he enjoys doing. And then probably the most exciting thing about the moment was just kind of talk to him about football. Like for about 10 minutes, he just kind of talked to just me about what we do defensively and how we do it and what it looks like. And we had gone up to Iowa State a couple years ago and talked to him about some defensive stuff we do. And they had done the same thing, which is crazy to think. And so we kind of compared notes, so to speak, about how we do things. And he was probably one of the nicest guys I've ever met. You know, you see him kind of on TV hollering and hooting and getting excited. He definitely was not like that. He was about the nicest fellow I've ever met.
Can we officially put the rumors to bed that you're going to be his defensive coordinator for the Crimson Tide next year?
Yeah, you can put that to bed. There's no doubt about that. Even if I wanted to, I'm not sure my wife would move to Alabama. I think we're settled here in Liberty, Missouri.
not Lexington, Missouri, Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I think we've settled that in our household that this is our landing spot.
Well, I've saved the most important question for last. Andy, there have not been many things that have caused me to have more text than a particular Friday night. It's almost probably been a handful of years ago. We were out running the kids or something, and it must have been the debut of the new playboard, the boards that are held up on the sideline at Liberty North games. And the question was, why is your mug, speaking to me, on this board? What does it mean? What is the play? And I have not been able to provide them a good answer over the years. So I just wanted to at least have you respond to that and share any insight that you might have.
I think it's a very valid question. I mean, I think we all decided when we did that, like, who else has the best known face in Liberty Public Schools?
Yes, thank you.
We couldn't put your voice on it like we get some of the snow day calls, so we went with your face on it. And it's interesting. What people don't know is that we do use that board, and in different years, it means different things. Sometimes it's a special teams board. Sometimes it's been an offensive board, and each year it's had a different call, obviously, to try to make sure nobody picks up on what's going on. But I'm not sure they could anyway. There's like 8 different pictures on that thing. I don't know how you'd figure it out if you wanted to. It's a little bit of a matrix, so to speak, of how we utilize it. But it's a lot of fun, and it has been a topic of conversation. I've had a lot of guys ask me, what play is Dallas Ackerman?
Yeah, I've always told people punt.
No, it hasn't. No, there was actually some kickoffs that involved Dallas Ackerman. And one time we called it a sunshine kick because obviously you do the sunshine services and stuff,
yeah.
The ceremonies we have at the beginning of the year, convocations. Sometimes you wake up in the morning to the sunshine of Dallas calling you and telling you there's no school, so it brightens your day. Just different things like that that we've used. And then I think there's over the years been a couple offensive plays and our no-huddle stuff that we've used. So
fantastic. Yeah. People that listen to this entire podcast, for those that waited till the very
end, if they hung on that long,
they got some great insight there from Andy Learman on the playboard at Liberty. Do you expect that to come back next year? Do you need an updated photo of
I think
me?
That might be good now that we've won the state title. We might, like I said, we need to get you to signature that thing, and maybe you can hang it near.
I need you to put your signature on it.
We'll get a little state championship playboard, and you can
get that down in the man cave.
Yeah, we get you a new picture on the board.
Ah, that's fantastic. Coach, I tell you what, I've really enjoyed this time. Looked forward to having a chance to talk to you about the season. I tell you, I was up at your press conference last week that the kids did a great job by KNED up at the broadcasting students at Liberty North and Jennifer Higgins and Jeff Nold. And you mentioned about how you got emotional there. And I've seen you show some of that emotion a couple of times. I think we're kind of cut from the same mold because that can come out of me as well, even coaching the little guys at the youth level. And I think there's something to be said. I don't think having that emotion's a bad thing either. Where'd you get that from?
From my dad, definitely.
Yeah.
My dad was kind of like that. But I've just always tried to be vulnerable with our kids. And I know that's kind of a weird word, like people use that as a soft word. But I just want them to know me. Like, I want them to know who I am. And they're going to see me when I'm fired up, and they're going to see me when I'm emotional, and they're going to see me when I'm happy. And I think all those things make me real to them. And I think, again, back to the buy-in of, if they're going to play hard for me, they need to know who I am. And again, I think when you spend as much time as we spend together, you care about kids. And when they, whether it's a good emotional or a bad emotional, whatever it is, I mean, it shows that you care. And I think that's important.
Now, man, we couldn't be happier for you. Congratulations to you, your entire program. So well deserved. And again, enjoy every bit of it. And we can't thank you enough for all you do for Liberty Public Schools.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and I got a second. Just obviously, thank you to everybody in the district for their support. Our administration at Liberty North, here at the DAC, our coaches, our staff, our AD, Lane Green. It's been awesome. I've said this before. My job is a dream come true. You know, I've worked really hard to have an opportunity like this, but I'm also thankful that I'm surrounded by a bunch of great people and in a great community like Liberty, and just very, very fortunate and excited to continue to do that.
Enjoy your holiday, my friend, and we'll see you back in 2024.
Yes, sir. You too.
He's Andy Learman, the head football coach, the championship head football coach at Liberty North High School, joining us for an in-depth conversation. And that will officially wrap us up for first semester and the debut of In the Loop with LPS, the official podcast, the Liberty Public Schools. Again, a reminder, we'll be wrapping up the semester here coming up next week, and then we'll look forward to seeing everybody back for another edition of In the Loop when we come back in 2024. Happy holidays, everybody, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for choosing to spend a few minutes with us and getting in the loop with LPS. Don't forget, you can also stay in the loop with us by following Liberty Public Schools on our various social media platforms. including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, and by downloading our LPS mobile app for that mobile-friendly experience. This has been a production of the Liberty Public Schools Communications Office. For more about this podcast and all you need to know about LPS, visit our website at www.lps53.org.